All right, folks, strap in, put your seatbelts on. This one's going to be a fun one. It always is a fun one when we have this national treasure with us. And you never know. If you run into him at a show, if he likes you enough, he might even name a bagel after you. You know, think about the Sunyan. I mean, you know, I think that's your idea. Some people want to take credit for it, but it is what it is.
That was 100% Josh. I mean, because Josh, he's a little salty. Josh is a national treasure, but he's a little salty with a little touch of onion. It's exactly who he is.
Yes, but no sun at all. You combine them and you hear the word sun. No. He's not sunny. He's rainy.
No. Yes.
He's very rainy, you know? That's the only way you get sun out of Josh is when you mix salt and onion. It becomes a sunion. You got to love it. Well, listen, here's the fun one, right? I got to tell you. Back from National, I can't believe that you are even awake. I would imagine you probably did, 14 miles on your step tracker. I saw you a couple times. And I mean, there are people who work. You work the National. Are you all right? Are you
really recovered? I really appreciate it. It took me a week. It took me a full week to recover. But it's a lot. And I got to tell you, this was year three. You know, for me, it's funny because you and I met in 21 at Rosemont. You know, I set certain goals for myself for this year, and it was to make more time to walk the show for myself. Put a hat on, walk the show. Do you know what I did not do?
It's funny. I said the same thing my last day. I have I'll get out there at like 8:30 right when it opens. I don't have to leave till like 12. I'm gonna walk around, I'm gonna look at cards. I end up doing content like, hey Cage, can you come in here and talk about this card? Hey Cage, can we get you for a video? I saw you doing the Whatnot video. That's coming out soon. I saw you they asked me to going the Whatnot video. I'm doing that also. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're gonna use. I'm juggling. I mean, you never know what the heck they're gonna use. So it should be fun.
I'm worried about what they're gonna use, but I was super appreciative that they grabbed me for it.
I mean, they had all kinds of sports equipment around. I mean, I hope they had a football. I did an Uncle Rico. Like I said, I was gonna throw this football over those mountains. Like, and then I threw the ball, and some kid, it almost took him out. You know, I mean, I hope they got that on camera. So yeah, you didn't get a chance to walk around. You were in the Breakers Pavilion, which I haven't had a chance to talk to too many people in the. What was that like, right? Because I mean, it's. Did you do that on purpose? And if so, why?
So we have not been able to get a table in the main room. This is the politics of the show, and I'm going to use a very dear friend who, as an example. No, there's people out there that Ryan. Card Collector 2, who is the trade night, the official trade night sponsor, doesn't even have a table in the main room, right? Just as an example. And I think it's preposterous that he cannot get a table. I understand we're a newer company. Yes, because of seniority, because of how it works. This year's layout, I'll get to the layout. The layout's part two of this, but it's very difficult to get a table in the main room. I was trying. I put a big bounty. I was offering $10,000 for a table in the main room, because it was important for our company. It's important for our brand. Was not able to get one, and I threw a big number out there. I had a couple people who were thinking, unless you're taking my money, I know you're not sure, I was able to get a booth in the Breakers Pavilion last year because of it's first right of refusal if you have one. So I built a relationship with them and the Ripping Wax, Ripping Wax owns the pavilion, the Breakers Pavilion. They, not only did we get a booth, but we got, I think, one of the best booths in the pavilion.
No, it was great.
We were one row over from PSA, and it's where the cut through was for everybody. I mean, Meek and Michael Rubin and Meek Mill walked through in front of our table. Every person, because of where we were set up, walked past our table. So it was amazing. The location was great.
Does he have a podcast? Is this it's like Mike and Mike? Is it Meek and Mike? Is this
Meek and Mike? Like, if that guy has time for a podcast, I don't know when it is.
So I gotta ask, who's this Meek guy? Is this an athlete, Meek?
Meek Mill.
Somebody I should know? Should I ask my children?
I think you should ask the kids.
Okay.
I'm curious if Hudson would know who he is, but I think he may be a little too young. But
so Meek and Mike walked past because you were the place to walk through. You were kind of cut through. So it worked out good. Yeah. I mean, you know, it could have been dreams, could have been nightmares, could have been dreams and nightmares, but it turned out to be a dream for you, your location.
No, the location was awesome.
By the way, just go like this. That's a Meek Mill song.
I'm old, Cage. I'm not cool.
All right, it's tough. So, was it a successful show in the location you had?
It was a super successful show for us. So, we had a couple golds at this show. I had a bunch of meetings. I had a bunch of relationship stuff to do. My guys came up with a custom product about a month before the national that we released at the national. It's called Rips boxes. They look exactly like the Ritz Red Cracker boxes, and our company is Wax Crackers, so fitting, you know.
You're really going with the whole gluten theme. It's bagels and wax. We're getting
bagels crackers, and wax. Like, everything.
Like, what's next? Pita chips? Like, what are you going to do next?
Those are very dietary. We're going for more gluten, more full. So,
by the way, guys, here's how you know it was a success. I asked him if he had any for me to buy on this show to open just as part of the whole experience. And he's like, sold out. Sorry, can't give me any. Clearly,
We sold out at the national. So we did all four major sports, hockey, basketball, football, and baseball. The guys were able to do so. The boxes range from $100 to $140 in price. We're doing the floor is 30% lower than the buy, and the ceiling is 2.5 to 3x of the buy. So we're doing it. It's being built on a case basis. So it's either 20 or 25 boxes per case. There's case hits. We're releasing the checklist for every single case, you know, every card that's in every case. Wow. So you can
this is a repack product, right?
I mean, it's listen, a for the repack folks who are product, out there
listening,
yes.
Right? So you are, I mean, I'm gonna call you a hobby renaissance man here, really. You know, you have your own store where you sell bagels. You go to a show that Vadim is at, and he actually likes the people of the show. You could get bagels. I think you brought bagels to the national. I think you had bagels.
There were bagels at the national for
New York bagels out at the national. And I mean, I know you break. I know you do breaks. I know you've done that before. I know you do singles, but now you've kind of morphed into this. Is that where we're going? You were a repacker?
So we slowed down on breaks last year. There was a massive correction on wax. There were some things that happened, and we realized at that point, it was probably fourth quarter last year, November, December, that massive collection buying was something that was very advantageous for us. I knew a ton of people who were customers in breaking who were trying to offsell some of the cards they didn't care about. Mm-hmm. You know, Benny and Jared, who, Garnett Sports and Gotham, Gotham City Cards, two of our guys have been in this hobby for, I believe, 12 to 14 years each. These kids grew up in the hobby. They know a ton of people. So they knew a ton of people. I reach out to them. So we were buying collections. We're buying collections, you know, take a lot of the good, take some of the junky stuff. And we were doing very well. We're set up at all the local JPRS shows. We're set up in Babylon with, something in the diamond. Yes, behind the diamond. So we're set up at their shows. You know, we're set up everywhere locally. It was super successful. Then, you know, we went on the nationals prep starting in January. The boys were going very hard on Golden and PWCC in our, you know, price range, which on those platforms usually do under what general comps are for those cards. So anything in the under 500 range, we were able to buy very, very well on those platforms. You know, so, and this was all in prep for the national. The boys worked their asses off for 6 months, buying diligently. And then we realized with the inventory they had, and, you know, Benny and Jared watching a lot of other custom products out there that are higher end, they wanted to give something, you know, super responsible and super value driven to customers. You know, affordability is something super, you know, I've been talking about affordability for 2 years now and how important it is, you know, for everybody to be able to afford to get in. And, you know, the $100 price range where you're only at most going to lose 30%.
Right, you're going to get $70 back on the floor, but you could also get $250.
Yes, yeah. And that's a lot more value than your, you know, the potential of breaks is a very high risk, high reward option. You know, the potential to lose here is a lot smaller. And, you know, it was a success. We've had a ton of breakers that came over, ripped, you know, I had a lot of the bigger breakers shot content on opening them, you know, because they wanted to see. Most of these breakers buy either Hit Parade or they make custom products, but all their stuff is higher end. Nobody's really doing something in this price range and on a mass level. And a lot of them were interested in, you know, buying it to add into their breaks or offer it up to their customers as a lower and more affordable product.
It's a really interesting thing. I want to get back to the national stuff like that, but there are folks who listen to this who are like me. I mean, I see my demographic for, you know, people who listen and watch, and repacks, it's a new thing for most people listening and watching this. So I'm going to take a second. Here's where my brain goes when I listen to you, right? And then follow my progression with me. You're smart. I don't know about the folks listening to this. No, I'm just kidding. You guys will follow too. But I consider the hobby very much like a casino nowadays. I really do. And I consider breaking sort of like that that high roller slot room that you walk past but never really sit down in. Because, you know, you put $100 into that slot machine, that $100 is gone in two spins, right? But if you're lucky, if you happen to sit down at that $100 slot machine, $25 slot machine at the right time, one of those pulls could get you a monster $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 win. And it does happen every now and again. But more likely than not, you do that $25 spin, you do that $25 spin, and what happens is you're going to be very quickly be out of your money. But here's what happens. The casino doesn't just have that one room. It has other rooms and other games to play with other risk and other, you know, call it rake, right? And I think what winds up happening there is there's that $100 slot, the $25 slot, you name it. If you use it for breaking, right, people don't get nothing in breaks. Something comes out of the bottom of the slot machine. It used to be coins. Now it's credit tickets. The difference with cards is that you can't just take that ticket. Like you put your $100 in, you get $60 out of the slot machine and move over to a $60 machine. You have a card, right? What are you going to do with the cards? And I think what I've been saying on the show a bunch of times is that the hobby has to find a way to quickly turn that card into cash, into a ticket for someone to reinsert back into a different machine, into a different game, or into the same game, right? And what's amazing about it is what you're doing is a fun way of keeping that ecosystem going, because what you've done is not only have you created a different slot machine, right? A slot machine with, let's call it, a lower buy-in for people, but also better odds, like cherries pay, bells and bars pay, right? You're going to get something, something, something. But before the person even gets the money to put into your slot machine, what you're doing is you're enabling the person who's playing those high roller slots, when they get their cards out, when they get their RPAs out, when they get the stuff that they don't want, right? They just want money. They want cash to put back into that high roller machine. You're buying those cards, probably at a discount, and putting those good cards that this breaker may not necessarily want into a product for someone else to play. Let's call it the room next to the high roller slots. Call it a value slot room or whatever it is. And there's a fun ecosystem that's developing around this, right? Where you know, if you have $100, maybe you put it into that high roller slot and hope to hit a jackpot, but know you're going to get nothing. Or maybe you put the $100 into a break like yours, a repack, knowing that at base, I'm going to get $70. You know, if I get the worst, I'm going to get $70 out of this, but I could also not get $1,000 or $2,000, but I can get $250. I could hit, there's still a gamble there. Yeah. But, you know, for kids, for whoever it is, there's less of a downside on it, which is, I mean, it's a cool way of thinking about it. Here's my thing. And I want to talk about the national, I want to talk about stuff, but this is fun, right? You know, I love getting into conversations like this. You're a small business. So your brain is always thinking small business. We've seen over the last decade, maybe more, large companies kind of encroach on small business. You and I, we laughed beforehand because I took a sip of my Diet Dr. Pepper and you said, what are you cheating on Coke? You know, that Coke sponsorship's not going to come. Well, I'll take a sponsorship from Dr. Pepper. I think it's Dr. Pepper Keurig. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I think it's the same.
It's Keurigones. They're big boy. Yep. That's Snapple.
Yeah. Yeah. A whole bunch of fun stuff in there. Right. So, I said to you, hey, you know, I order, like, I'm so lazy. I have Uber Eats, like, bring me soda bottles from, like, the grocery store. And you were telling me how, you know, Hudson, your son, my son, Ian, it's just like push a button and boom, you know, like you get what you want and it's there.
Yep.
But you got to go through the economics of it, right? You got to go through the, oh, you know, if I spend $10, the store's only getting $8.50. And, you know, it actually struck a nerve in me. It's like, I better go out and hit my local grocery store. I should go to North Shore Farms over here. I should go to the local guys because, you know, they're not getting the full money that I'm spending by keeping my ass on the couch here and not spending it. Right. So now that I've summarized what you said, how long can you keep doing what you're doing? Can repackers keep doing what you're doing? Because if Fanatics has come in and we all assume that they're going to right price breaking, distributors are worried and we're going to go direct to consumers. Well, if Fanatics is going to be the whole casino, well, what stops them from becoming also a repacker of their own stuff? They're sort of buying back cards now, you know, it's going to be Acuna and Shohei most probably. Like, what's going to stop them from, you know, buying back stuff from breakers, creating that sort of buyback and then a repack and doing it themselves? Are you worried about that?
So I'll tell you something that I saw national and going international. And I like what Fanatics is doing on a certain level. I'm going to criticize a little bit the app, the Fanatics Live. First of all, the app was definitely rushed. It was only available on iPhone, no Android, no iPad, which I wasn't aware of until it went live. I think that it's a little choppy and I think they rushed it. And I think they rushed it for national. And I understand the mentality there. However, I've also learned from experience, it's better to push something and perfect it than rush things out.
Correct.
I also noticed, and in conversations, I know a few people in the hobby, and in conversations with a lot of friends, very, very big end companies, breakers, LCSs and such, where I thought they would have no choice and would only have to break on Fanatics and break the Fanatics product.
Yep.
I'm not seeing that happen as quickly as I thought it was going to. So, you know, a lot of people have had issues with whatnot. A lot of people have issues with drip or loop. Everybody has certain issues, certain things they like and don't like about certain apps. You know, being that whatnot is the biggest in the game right now, platform-wise, of course, everybody has found more issues or complained about them more. It's like, you know, the same argument with the loaded boxes or this or that. When you have the biggest amount of activity, you're going to have the bigger amount of issues because that's just a volume game, right? So I don't think whatnot's going away anytime soon. And I don't think they're going to be as affected as quickly as I thought they were going to be. So to that point, even if Fanatics does come up with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an end all. And I don't think it's going to be an end all. So the repack game, we're not first. We're not last. We're just doing it our way.
Yep.
What happened last year and back to the wax, you know, and why we're not breaking and stuff like that. Margins shrunk on wax overall. The prices went down. The buyers, especially when auctions are run at a dollar, tend to go a lot less unless there's a super chase. Like, that I will tell you there, and I predicted this last year. I predicted 30% of breakers were going to go out of business or be bought, and a lot happened. And a lot were affected, and a lot of scamming and a lot of bad things happened because people's wallets really, really got hit hard because they weren't making money. In fact, they were losing a lot of money. So what a lot of breakers started doing is adding the repacks. And why? And I'm going to go a little bit on the back end of this. And, you sure. know, this is just transparency for everybody that doesn't understand. Where people were able to make, let's say, 30% to 40% on some box breaks, right? They weren't making anymore. In fact, they were losing. Some of them were losing 10 to 20% on some of their breaks, if not more. I've seen breaks lose 50%. You know, with a repack product, you have a margin that you're building in, especially if you're building it yourself, or, you know, a lot of companies have partnered, not with Hit Parade, but they've partnered with a repack product.
Right. And well, you know what you're buying, you know what you're spending, you know what's going in, you know, like if you're going to make 100 boxes at $100, it's $10,000, right? You got to make sure that you have at least, you know, you're going to have $10,000 worth of value in it or $9,000 worth of value in it. You're going to have the ones that go up. You're going to have the ones that are, right. Most of them are going to be 70, 75%. Some of them are going to be the big hits. So you can bake in the margin for yourself, 100%.
So there's your margin. And when you add those products, with box breaks, if you go on Whatnot or you go, you know, I don't know if it's allowed. I don't think it's allowed on Fanatics Live, but you go on Drip, you go on other. A lot of the breakers are putting in custom products in addition to their box breaks. What it's doing is it's giving them their margin. By the way, for everybody here crying about people.
All right. Well, listen, I spent some time on the repacks with you only because it's not something that we really, you know, we really do a lot of. It's not something we really talk right. about a lot here. So I definitely wanted to go into the repack stuff just because, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to talk about. So I asked the same question to everybody here. It's flowers. If you give flowers to somebody at the National, who would you give them to? It's basically like somebody you saw doing something the right way. It could be anything. It could be a business you liked. It could be the way they set their booth up. It could be a collector who you saw doing stuff the right way. Literally limitless. Somebody who you want to just kind of give a shout out to.
I'm gonna give a bag of coal to somebody. Let me start with that.
Oh, no. Well, you got to give flowers then. I can't just do coal.
Well, I'll start with coal and then flowers.
Okay.
The National
Lump of coal. Committee. Wow.
The National Ugh. Committee. Okay. So, and I'm not talking about Ray Schulte. It's not him. It's the committee. And you know what? The dinosaur level of, first of all, the disorganization of the show, how you have, you know, you have Beckett on one side, PSA, SGC in a triangle around the show that's about a quarter mile away from each other. Makes a total lot of sense. Okay, the air conditioning, everybody's brought up. I'm happy that nobody passed out in the middle of the National. But the amount of money they're bringing in to not be able to organize appropriately and just put everybody together, guys, so then, you know what, if you're that old, you need to get the hell out. I say the same thing. You need to let people who are going to improve it and improve it for the future come in and organize it. I think it was a disorganized mess.
But it's a new crew, right? I mean, it's a new crew, right? I mean, there's a new crew in, right? There's a new guy.
Well,
right? I mean,
Jimmy and Joe are coming in.
A new bunch of people running it.
Well, that's why I hope going forward we're going to have a lot better, you know, organization.
It's a little choppy here, so I hope you guys are hearing Bagels here. He's kind of going in and out a little bit, which is no good. But I mean, he gave a lump of coal to the, you know, to the National folks, which is, you know, kind of sad, you know. But I want to give flowers, but maybe he's going to save his flowers for the new folks coming in. You know, maybe he's saving his thing. You're back now. You're back. So you gave a lump of coal out, right?
Lump of coal.
Who are you going to give your flowers to?
Marino's number one. That's who should be running the show if I'm going to give him everything, because of how well he is able to put stuff together. The dinners, the events, everything he did. I want to thank him. I want to thank you, and I want to thank John Basketball Card Guy, because some of the stuff and the people that you, all three of you, have put in people into rooms and the right people together, you know, and that's all relationship stuff. The three of you guys are all relationship guys, you know, and I try to do the same myself. I try to bring value to everybody. And because of that, I'm fortunate enough that you guys invite me to the things you've invited me to. So I want to give the three of you guys big, big shout out. All three.
Biggles was my plus one. This was my plus one at an event. And he beat me there.
I thought I was late. I'm like, he's not here. They're not letting me in.
It all worked out great. Listen, I mean, I've said it a couple times on these things, and I appreciate the flowers there. The you know, the cards are great. And we're all there for cards. We're having fun with cards. But, I mean, it's the people, you know, the people, the relationships. That's what keeps it going. So it makes it fun. It's what makes it, you know, fun to continue to go out there. I mean, I don't know if I really want to go to Cleveland. I've never been to Cleveland. You know, I mean, it's going to be a smaller show. The hotels are going to be a pain in the butt. You know, it's going to be like rental cars. There's a lot of, like, stuff I'm not exactly looking forward to. But, you know, I'm going to be there. I want to hang out with everybody. You know what I mean? I want to say hi. I want to look at the cards. Sure. I want to buy some cards. Sure. I want to grade some stuff. But I mean, it's hanging out with the folks. You know what I mean? That's that. That is what draws. That's what draws it in. Okay.
The alliance.
You can give the alliance flowers.
And you know, we like to hang out. We go to the National. That group. We did a business during the day. We did a lot at night, and we enjoyed ourselves. And we caught up and we saw a lot of people, and it's the relationship stuff. You know, I did not buy a single card. I bought Hudson boxes of soccer, and I bought Hudson. He's obsessed with booklets.
You didn't pick up any Bob Ross cards?
That's amazing. He asked for soccer. It's what the kid wants. Bob Ross. That's a cool one.
$20.
You know what cost me $20? One touches four booklet cards, Cage. $15 a piece at Ultra Pro.
You know what we need to do? Repack of supplies. You know,
supplies went down. One touches went up in price.
You gotta go over by by PSA or Beckett. Somebody's gotta go over there and say, listen, someone's coming over with a one touch for their card. They're submitting a book, they're submitting this stuff. What are you doing with the plastics? I mean, I'm so old, they call them plastics. Give them to me, I'll repack them. And then what you do is you sell not a cracker box, maybe not a pita chip bag. I already used that joke. What kind of gluten product? Maybe like a pretzel rod box. And you know, you pay $2, and on the downside, you get a bag of penny sleeves. You know, you
get I have a friend who sells supplies on Whatnot.
See? And then on the other side, you get like a booklet. You get like a bookcase. That's a $20 case. Boom. Repack the used supplies.
100%. It should be done.
Let's go.
Hit Parade. I think Hit Parade must buy them because they one touch most of their cards for their boxes. Must touch buy them in mega, mega quantities.
So we got the flowers. We even got a little lump of coal over there, which is good. I might have to have those guys on to respond to you. You know, you've been to three Nationals, including now two in Chicago. You've seen changes, I'm certain. Changes for the better? Changes for the worse?
It was so big this year. But I think the wave of space was good for traffic reasons. I think we're growing in the right direction. I have a funny feeling, and I have faith. I know Jimmy. I know Joe. Yep. I have faith going forward. The coal was to the guys that are on their way out. But I also did Fanatics not acquire a show just now? Didn't they acquire Mint or
no?
They acquired
an event company.
And
I think they partnered with IMG, and IMG is the company that did put on Mint.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that means that they'll be involved in Mint. I don't know whether they're going to do a Mint type of thing, like a different Mint, you know, a new Mint. But they obviously are breaking into the event space, and they've partnered up with IMG, who, you know, they did a great job with Mint. You know, I mean, Blake and Lauren and the crew that I worked with this past year at Mint. I mean, if they do take on Mint, that's a good one. I'm sure that's something they're exploring, you know, the event space. I'm sure that they're, you know, talking to show organizers. And, you know, it's just another you know, space that they'll be in the hobby. But it's a big show. You don't think too big?
I think it was very big. But again, who are you chopping out? You know, there's so many people trying to chop the old vintage guys out because it's like, to them, they think that they're taking up space that's unnecessary. If they're paying for their own table, let them have their table, is how I look at it. The guys that I don't like is the guys that are sub-selling, you know, and subletting their
table. You're not supposed to do that.
And nobody can.
I heard somebody was offering $10,000 for one. Makes it hard to say no.
Yeah, well, 100%. But I'm also not booting them out. Set off, take a showcase with me, you know. But the guys that don't even offer the opportunity and are never in the room, they shouldn't. It should give other guys an opportunity to get in.
You know, getting into the main room is going to be interesting because there's less floor space.
I thought it was more. I'm wrong about that, huh?
Than what we just had in Chicago. I don't think we have any. I don't think there's any place that has as much space as the multitude of rooms that were just there in Chicago. No way. Floor space. And so that doesn't mean you're going to have less people. It's just going to be that people are going to have to do more with less. People are going to have to be more economical with their space. You know, like you're not going to have, you know, a 1,200, 1,500 foot space where you're able to have an expanse and spread out and only be part of it. And, you know, you're going to have to utilize your space in the right way, you know, for your business. That's, you know, I mean, next year, Whatnot may have to bring in Michael Jordan's old unicycle instead of his Mercedes. Like, they'd have to be more, you know, economical with the space.
You can't bring in a Michael Jordan. He killed Cleveland enough. Greg Elo still recovering from that shot.
So maybe they'll bring in Greg Elo, and he can destroy Michael.
or Mark Price shooting free throws.
I
think we're growing in a positive direction. Where the future, the amount of kids who, by the way, are impossible to argue about prices with, like these kids are. I'm giving them all the flowers because I don't have the balls to come up and offer somebody 60% and stand there until I give up the card at 60%. And they're like, look at this. I am not paying more than 40% off of this price.
Yeah.
Here's the last comp.
Well, that's because me and my friend just set it out in the hallway so that I can come over here and buy this card from you at 60% of the price we did.
But the future is so bright. I love seeing, you know, look, the market corrected. You've had people on who walked the show for personal cards, PC cards.
Yep.
You know, it's funny because I've had a lot of people talk some smack to me saying that, you know, people have called me a flipper, which is, go look at my PC. I just posted it the other day. I own the entire Pop Town or 98% of it.
Drazen Petrovic cards. Who are you flipping them to?
so the Drazen collectors have reached out to me after I posted that for my doubles, and you know, and guess what? That's exactly what I'm gonna do. And those are the final destinations for a lot of those cards. I just acquired a Drazen from a Drazen collector that, you know, it's an out of eight, it's a very rare card. He needed funds for something. And he felt good selling it to me because he said, I may not see it again. I go, you will. It's not going anywhere. It's getting parked in my collection. And if you want to take a look at it, I'll send you a picture. When I see you, I'll bring it to a show. You can take a look at it, you know. But it's, you know, look, people can make money, and there's nothing wrong with making money in the hobby. Yep. But there are end goals, and those end goals and the end user, you know, look, a lot of them, and there are collectors who are end users, but when you get a certain offer at a certain point, you may let go of it.
Yep.
You know, fortunately, at one of the dinners I was at, I was sitting at a table with one of the biggest patent collectors. I think you know what dinner that was.
Yep.
And him and I spoke, and he has gotten offers over the years for some tremendous cards. And at a certain point, his wife was like, okay, cool. We could do a little bit with that. It's a great profit. And it's going to maybe a temporary 10-year, you know, home. But that's, you know, what the collecting is about.
One final note. I don't like Peyton Manning anymore. I'll never buy another Peyton Manning card ever again.
That was traumatizing, huh?
It's all right. It is what it is. It happens.
It's happened to all of us.
It all balances out. It all balances out in the end. It all comes out in the wash. So, but go ahead.
I do want to make one point, though.
Please.
And I've seen a lot of this. The content stuff. And I love the content stuff. And there's a lot of haters for everybody. However, the one thing that I have seen some of the content stuff that are talking about people who don't collect. If you're not a collector yourself, playing in the hobby is why you're going to get flack. Yep. I'm a collector, and there's a lot of collectors, but there's a lot of content creators that don't actually collect and then wonder why they're getting hate. Well, you're going to have to take it with the profits that you are taking. You know, to learn how to take it on the chin if you're able to monetize in an industry. You know, you have people talking about, you know, this or that who have zero interest in actually collecting.
I mean, I think what that's about to, right? The hobby's full of gatekeepers. And in some regard, it's a good thing, right? I mean, listen, I don't begrudge anybody their content, their money, you name it. I mean, if somebody wants to be able to become a breaker or set up at a table and they've never done it before, who am I to tell them not to do it? They can set up, they can break, they can do whatever they want, right? I mean, you know, if you want to go out and take that gamble, go ahead. People want to make content, go ahead. But I think what you're saying is the content becomes more authentic. I'll speak for myself. Like, I know what it was like as a young teen to hunt down Len Sakata's 1985 Topps card to finish my set. Like, I remember what the last card I needed was to finish my 85 Topps baseball set. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was such a garbage card. I remember when I bought it, I remember, you know, having to overpay for it because it was my last card and someone had it and I got to get it. And I think it makes the stories a little more genuine. If you're able to talk about like, yeah, I collected. Yeah, I had these cards. Yes, I was able to sell some really good profit because I had to. I couldn't turn it down. And then, you know what? I could talk about some emotional buying that I did in the peak, you know, buying last year at the crazy time. And now, you know what? I sold it and I got my ass kicked. I haven't seen a beating like that since someone put a banana down my pants and turned a monkey loose. I mean, like, but it's legit, right? That, by the way, that's Vegas Vacation, little Cousin Eddie action there, in case people are wondering what movie that's from. I don't want to steal it. But I get what you're saying. I think what you're also saying underlined is no one's going to tell you you can't do it, but don't get offended when people kind of give you crap about
not. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are walking around, and look, people are walking around the show. I try to say hello to everybody. Whether or not my friends don't like them, if I know the person, I'm going to say hello to you. Yep. You know, that's what I'm at the National for. But then there's some people who had come up to me who felt like, and I'm like, if I don't respect what you're doing, unfortunately, I'm a very honest person to a fault. And if I don't, you know, if I'm not on that page with you, I am not going to, you know, cordially. And it's, well, why? Well, what? That's what it is. I don't need to get into it with you, but it's generally a respect thing. You know, make your money, do your thing. You don't need my opinion for it. You know, who am I to give an opinion? You know, that's my personal, but I don't have to, you know, I don't have to have a relationship with you if I don't think that you're authentic or I don't think you're, you know, you're doing. By the way, I have no problem with people making profit. You know, I've defended a lot of people, you know, that other people don't like because, again, the gatekeeping stuff is nuts to me. And, you know, so many people have gone from driving Toyota Camrys to driving Porsches in the last 3 years that didn't make it the 20 before that.
Yep.
Right. And those are usually the gatekeepers hating on everybody else. Well, thank everybody for making the boom, you know, but I did see a lot of money at the National, a lot of money actually being spent. There are a lot of trades. There are a lot of things, but I see a lot of healthy marketplace stuff, you know, going on.
I mean, I think you're right. And there was definitely money spent there. And I mean, I appreciate you bringing it back to the National and, you know, the money being spent. It's just, it's being spent on different things. Collectors are finding their PC cards and locking them away. Breakers, I think breaking is just the future. And I think the bolt-on businesses to breaking are, you know, like what you're doing. It's a smart way of being part of that breaking ecosystem. I think, you know, look, there will always be collectors, but you know, what folks like about the hobby, at least what I saw while I was there, is the thrill of opening a pack and chasing something. Right. And then if you hit something and it's not the thing you were looking for, or maybe there isn't a thing you were looking for, right? It's, it's what I would say is that you're finding a way to let that person continue to do it. They sell it, it's back in the ecosystem, and boom, they're doing all that fun
100%. Stuff. 100%. It's not just myself. I have about four friends who do this professionally. Each one of them at the National spent over $500,000. $500,000. That's $2 million, $2 to $3 million back in the ecosystem at a very favorable rate. They're paying.
Well, my lump of coal goes to you for not introducing me to those friends quicker. You, sir, are a national treasure. Thanks for joining, everybody. Bagels and Wax.
Thank you so much.
On his page, you're going to have your next product now that this is sold out. You're going to do it again, another version of it.
The boys are already building out the packs. We bought a ton of inventory. Yeah, they're back at the office. Yeah. So,
gotta love it. All right, thank you.